Well, hello, my beautiful people. I hope you are well, mentally, physically, all the things. I, this week, have recovered from strep throat, had a severe mental breakdown, and have had someone singing Christmas carols outside of my front door of my apartment. So, as you can only imagine, things have been crazy. I don't know how to explain how crazy things have been because they've been truly that nuts. That being said, I'm really excited to talk to you guys. I feel like I have not been in a place to be able to talk to you guys, and it's not by lack of anything other than myself. And like coming to a lot of conclusions about what I'm willing to accept in my life and what I'm not willing to accept. And you know, I've been talking to my friend. My friend and I have been going out. We've been, you know, living our lives as 21-year-olds, just really having the time of our lives. And we have been learning more and more about ourselves, as you're supposed to whenever you're single and just trying to figure out who the fuck you are. And I'm a lover girl. I knew I was. I've known I am since, you know, the beginning of time, because I'm a hopeless romantic. I'm a lover girl. I'm a simp, whatever you want to call it. I fall really quickly, I fall really easily for anyone that flatters me. And with that, I have a really hard time understanding the difference between someone who's just here for a minute and someone who's here for a season and someone who's here for a lifetime. But the purpose of this podcast is not to talk about that specifically, but talking about what you are willing to accept in your life. So, I don't really have much to catch you up on. I've been ill all week long. I was out of work for 2 days, and if you know me, you know I don't stop working. So I was out of work for 2 days. I've been recovering. I have been allowing myself to sleep when I want to sleep. My anxiety the past few days has been pretty through the roof. I don't entirely know why, and I refuse to try and sit here and figure out why, because it's just going to stress me out more than anything. So I choose to not. So I have decided to just kind of chill out and slowly let it work itself out. Find the mechanisms of soothing my anxiety that work and make me feel good, and kind of go from there. I went to Target. I bought a volleyball today because while I was sitting in mass, all I wanted to do was hit a volleyball. I'm like, that's the only thing that I feel like will help me clear my head right now. And I still think that's the only thing that's gonna help me clear my head. I ended up falling asleep. I was so tired. So I fell asleep for about an hour and a half or so. And I tell you what, heartbreak comes in waves. As we all know, like, grief comes in waves. It's not a straight line. Healing is not linear. We're all aware of this. But I was sitting in the pew today, and I felt miserable. And last night, I felt miserable. And I don't know why I felt miserable. There wasn't anything specific that happened that I was like, damn, I feel like absolute shit right now. But the worst part about people leaving your life, you leaving other people's lives, and no longer having that person, it makes life incredibly lonely on occasion, because yeah, you have all of these random people you could talk to, you've got all these random people you could hit up, you've got all these random people you could sit on the phone with, you've got all these random people that'll buy you a drink and take you out and do all this stuff, but those people aren't fulfilling to you. Those people don't make you feel good, those people don't make you excited, those people don't push you, they don't challenge you, they don't do anything. They just are fillers. They're side characters in your story. And side characters are great. Side characters are necessary whenever it comes to the story of your life. But it's impossible to have them hold anything more than a side character slot. And you know whenever someone's a side character versus whenever they're a main character. You know it. Whenever they're in your life, you know if they're going to be someone that sits on the sidelines, or you know if they're going to be someone that's really just a staple to your life. I have a few friends that are staples to my life, and I still have a couple. And they are my favorite humans on God's green earth, and they know it. But recently, life has kind of felt like all work, no play. I do play. I do go out. I do have fun. I dance at clubs. I drink. I do the fun things that you're supposed to do at 21. And unfortunately, none of it feels good. Like, it feels good at the moment. Like, I want to do it. But I want to do it because I think that it, more than anything, it makes me go numb for a second. I don't think about anything. I'm not checking DMs on Instagram. I'm not over here worrying about the, you know, predictability of this or trying to figure out the, you know, marketing plan for whatever. I'm not having to write a business plan at that moment. I'm not having to do anything but literally live. And so I feel like that's why I sit there and I'm like, let's go out. Let's go do something. I just want to get out. And it's because my anxiety is like, just get out of your skin for a second. Just get out of here. It's claustrophobic. That's the best way I can explain my anxiety on occasion, of like, I feel claustrophobic. I feel like I need to peel my skin off and get out of it. It's how I felt last night. It's how I felt this morning. Last night, I ended up like, after all that happened outside of my apartment door, I was supremely freaked out. And so I was like, okay, whatever. I'm going to just get out of here. I got to get out of here. So I left and I ended up driving around. I sat at this bar. I had a glass of Prosecco. Amanda called me. I left. And then there's this guy. He was trying to get me to go out to get a drink. I didn't really want to. I didn't want to go out with him. He's a nice guy, but that's the thing, is like, I don't care. And this is gonna sound really whiny, it's gonna sound really heartbroken, it's gonna sound really weird for a second, because I don't really typically show that side of me to that extent, but God, I miss the people that were in my life. I miss my best friend. I miss my ride or die. I miss my McDonald's McFlurry buddy. I miss my person to call and when anything bad happened. I miss being a damsel in distress to him. I miss being that girl that came into his apartment with McDonald's in my hand, or soul ties, or whatever it was that we were into at the moment, Starbucks. I miss walking into his apartment and saying, oh my God, this is what just fucking happened. What am I gonna do? And we would sit there for hours and hours and just talk about everything. I miss being able to look at him and he knew exactly how I felt. I miss being able to tell him how my family did this and my family did that, or, you know, like, shit happened. Like, my grandfather this week went into a diabetic coma, and it's absolutely terrifying anytime he does that, because you don't know if he's gonna wake up. You don't. You wish and you pray and you hope, but you don't know, and you're doing your best to do that. Like, it could easily knock you out to where he passes. And for one, it's terrifying because it hits close to home, because it's my grandfather. This is the only man that I feel like has actually loved me in my life. And so it is very, very difficult anytime that I feel like he's about to leave me. And then it gets worse. And the fact of, like, I also have severe sugar issues. And so it's like, I feel like I'm looking at what could be me if I'm not careful. So that's even more terrifying. And after I heard all of this and got all this news and, you know, was told about it by Grandpa and all this stuff, I sat there and the only person I wanted to call was him. Because he knows my grandpa. And he knows how his sugar drops randomly and how I'm usually the one that has to call. And he knows all of it. He knows all of it. He's the one that after 3 beeps, he would look at me and say, hey, you need to call your grandpa. Because sometimes I would lose count. Or he would be the one that would, whenever I wasn't feeling well, would be like, do you need to eat something? Have you eaten anything today? What do you think your sugar's at? Is it low? I'm not just mourning an ex-boyfriend. I'm not just mourning a friend. I'm not just mourning a best friend. I am mourning very large eras in my life ending. And I'm forced to be okay with it. I am forced to keep going. And yeah, everything's working out, but sometimes it feels like life doesn't stop beating you up. It doesn't stop. the past month has been horrendous. And that's just me being completely transparent with you guys, that the past month has been absolutely atrocious. And they always say it gets worse before it gets better, but sometimes I don't know if it's going to get any better. And it's not because I believe that these people need to be in my life right now, but it is utterly painful not having them here. Like, utterly painful. Tears in my eyes, painful. And it hit a point this morning where my heart physically hurt. I was sitting in that pew and my chest was hurting, aching. And I haven't ever been able to relate to other people whenever it comes to this because they don't feel it the same way I do. But I remember talking to someone the last time that I was upset about a breakup, and it had been just a few days, and I was like, my chest is aching. And they were like, I've never felt that. And I was like, well, I hope you never do. I really hope you never do. I hope you never feel like this, because Jesus Christ, it fucking hurts. God, it hurts. And there's no way to fix it. You have to just power through. You have to just feel it and be okay with feeling it. It's atrocious. It's painful. It's ridiculous. I hate it. Every fucking second of it. But I say all that to say that I feel like the reason it hurts so bad is because I've learned to accept what I can't and what I cannot change. I've also stopped accepting the things that don't bring me life, don't bring me pleasure, don't bring me happiness. Because why the fuck are you in my life if you're not doing something? That's why the podcast is named Stop Accepting Bullshit. And it's named that because I have gotten in the habit of accepting bullshit. I've gotten in the habit of being okay with whatever somebody's willing to give me, even if it's not 100%. I'm like, you know what? At least I got 12% of your time. I'll call that a win. Because, like, I just, like, you know? And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And I'm over it. I'm over it, the fact that I allowed myself to get to a point where it's, like, a guy texting me back within 12 hours is a win for me. I'm pissed at myself at the fact that I got to the point where it's like I was making time for people that weren't making time for me. I was pissed. I was livid. And I refuse. And I know I'm not the only one that does this. I know I'm not. I know for a fact I'm not. And I was talking to a friend on the way back today from church, because I walked home from church. I was like, I just need to walk. I just need to move. Like, I feel so claustrophobic right now. And so started walking, and I called her, and we were chatting. And she was upset about a date that was just not pulling through. It's like he was wasting time. It was like, oh, well, I gotta do this, and then I gotta do this, and then I'll come pick you up. Well, you said this time. So why are we not following? Why are we sitting here an hour later? And I remember getting upset about very similar things with guys. And it's not even like as of recently, it's like relationships even. Like, it would bother the living everything out of me if we weren't doing things at a time that we had said we were doing them. And it was due to a lack of respect for that other human. It felt very disrespectful. It felt disrespectful of my time, of my, like, effort that I was putting in. Like, it just felt disrespectful in all counts. I have no other words for the fact that it felt disrespectful. I'm so sick and tired of spam emails. Like, I could literally throw a brick at a wall right now. Like, fucking quit. Anyways, but I noticed last night, this man had not texted me back in, like, we were sitting at just about 6 to 8 hours. And again, I'll deal with a lot. I'm one that will fold and forgive over and over again, and then eventually I'm fed up. And I'm officially fed up. And although I understand where this person is coming from, because I did break his trust at one point due to the fact that I was talking to him and then I decided to get back together with my ex, And then it's like he's kind of been my rebound in every moment that I'm getting away from my ex. And is that unfair to him? Yes. Can I understand the distance? Yes. Can I also be frustrated at the fact that I have done nothing but show him that I'm completely available for him specifically and have not received the same energy back? Yes. And I'm gonna be pissed. I'm gonna be upset. Because what I'm sick and tired of doing is putting in effort to things that don't give me the same energy back. I'm tired of doing that, actually. When I have four other people that want to talk to me and spend time with me, not even just guys, like friends that want to spend time with me and talk to me, and I'm like, well, I don't know what he wants to do. Treating it like it's monogamous, and it's not. Treating it like we're dating, and it's not. And like, the bullshit comes in all aspects of my life. Like, I'm tired of accepting my own bullshit excuses on why I'm not going on my runs like I want to. I'm tired of accepting my bullshit excuses on why I'm not cooking dinner every night. I'm tired of accepting my bullshit excuses on why I am behind in Bridal Bell or any of my other businesses. I'm also tired of telling myself that I am behind, because I'm not. I'm 21 years old. I'm fucking ahead of the game. I'm told I'm impressive every single day, and I still think I'm behind. How unfair is that to me? How unfair is it that I'm putting people ahead in my life right now that don't put me ahead in theirs while I'm trying to work my ass off and be the best person that I can be for other people? How fair is that? It's not. It's not. And it's just me accepting more bullshit. It's me accepting more energy that is not serving me entirely. Because at the end of it all, I have to be okay with the fact that not everybody's gonna give me the same energy I give them. Not everybody's gonna give me the same. And I know that. The fact that I look at my mother and I say, but I love him so much. And anybody that's been here and is close to me knows exactly who I'm talking about right now. And I adore him still. After all the shit that happened in between me and him, nothing terrible went down. It just wasn't compatible at the time. And I still adore him. But I don't know if he'll ever love me as much as I care about him and love him. And maybe he does, and I just don't know it. He's better at hiding it than I am. Or maybe he's just not openly sharing it on the internet. Neither here nor there. My mom has always told me that if I expect the same love from people that I give, I will forever be disappointed. And I hate to think that's true. I hate to admit that that might be right. I hate to admit that she might be right in this instance. Like, I don't want her to be right. I don't want her to be right in the fact that somebody's not going to be able to love me as much as I love them. It starts to make you feel like you're better off alone. Starts to really make you think that. And I'm so sick of accepting bullshit that I refuse to. I don't have it in me anymore. I'm out of the energy. I'm out of the shits to give. I'm out. I am on E when it comes to accepting bullshit. I can't do it anymore. I cannot do it. I cannot afford to do it anymore. Can't feel this way. I don't like feeling this way. I don't like thinking this way. I can't do it. And I say all this to say that I want you to hit that moment where you realize you can't accept the bullshit. Whether that bullshit be coming from yourself, from other people, or whatever it may be. But if you're willing to accept it once, then you'll accept it twice. And like my friend pointed out, she was like, we say 1 minute that we're sick and tired of these people and that we're done, and then they text us and we're like, oh my god. And this isn't an original experience. Like, this is what a lot of women go through, because like at the end of it, you have feelings for that person. You've caught feelings. You like them. But why in the world does it feel like I'm the only one here putting in that much energy. That's not the case. That shouldn't be how it is. It's not how I want to remember falling in love with this person. It's not what I want to do. It's not what I care to do. I am over accepting it. And it comes so far as in friendships. I have continued to cut friends out of my life that I feel like do not serve a purpose in my life. And not a purpose as in serving me in any way, but serve a purpose as in, what are you bringing to the table that I can't bring to the table myself? Are you supportive? Are you actually a good friend? Or are you just here to use my brain? The amount of people that want to talk to me just so they can get inside my head and understand a little bit more about marketing or social media strategy or whatever the fuck I feel like I'm confident in telling people about, those people, horrendous. Bother the living everything out of me. And I cut them out. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm really not. At the end of the day, I'm not sorry for the fact that I've cut people out of my life that I feel are using me. Because truly, I've allowed them to use me for way too frickin' long. They didn't deserve the time I gave them. And, I mean, using people is never okay. Using people is never okay. I don't understand it. I don't understand one-sided friendships anymore. And I've grown a lot in maturity and understanding myself enough to know whenever I feel uncomfortable and when I should trust it and lean into it. The other day, it wasn't the other day, it was months ago, I was talking to someone I work with, who I used to work with, and we were talking about our parents, and we all know that, like, our parents, they molded us, yes, but there's some sort of trauma typically that comes from your childhood. And it's not in the fact that your parents did anything wrong, it's just that they're parents. They got a lot going on. They can't do everything right. And that being said, my parents both had very traumatic childhoods. And so in turn, I had a great childhood, but there's going to be some trauma attached that was unhealed from my parents. They just pass it along, you know? It's called generational trauma for a reason. And I was talking to her, and I was saying how, or she was saying how she couldn't ever forgive her mother for what she put her through. And I said, I can forgive both of my parents for some of the stuff that they have altered in my brain chemistry. And she's like, how can you be okay with them still thinking that way and thinking that they didn't do anything wrong? I was like, you have to understand that a majority of the trauma that they gave me wasn't theirs. It wasn't their trauma. It was trauma from generations past that they were holding. And so then they were pushing it to the next person. Because that's what you do. That's what you do. It's energy. Energy doesn't disappear. It transfers. That's all it does. And I was sitting there telling her, like, I can forgive my parents. I can understand that they're not going to think how I think. I can understand that they're not going to believe the same things I believe. I understand that. I'm okay with that. Because at the end of it all, they did their best. My parents were 21 and 19 when they had me. Like, we were kids, all of us. Babies raising babies, truly. And I can't expect my mother to have the emotional maturity at 19 that she has now. I can't expect that. I'm not going to expect that. I'm also not going to expect her to understand mental health as well as I do, or, you know, all of these different things that our generation has been raised to understand and has been forced to understand. And something that my mom has really grown in is understanding me and really putting my mental health ahead and, like, understanding the mental health is really a thing. And it might have taken, yeah, a few physical anxiety attacks for her to get it, but she got it nonetheless. And my dad is the same way. He understands my anxiety and understands mental health. He gets it. Is he a little skeptical? Yeah. But, I mean, if you were raised in an area where therapy doesn't exist, you'd probably be skeptical too. And that's what I try to put in perspective whenever accepting things in my life, of like understanding how other people are feeling. And that's one of the things that I feel like is really great for me as an empath. Like, I do really feel what other people feel. And so in those moments where it's like, you know, I am really upset with someone, I'm like, how dare they speak to me that way? I sit there and I'm like, but why are they speaking to me that way? Are they speaking to me because it's coming from them, or is that coming from an outside source? Does that sound like them? Does this sound normal? Does this sound okay? Typically it isn't. Typically I know it's from a different voice. I know it's from an outside force. And I don't get offended by it anymore. I used to take everything very, 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 very personally. Every single thing was an attack against me. Everybody was against me. And the fact that I learned that, fuck no, you're being stupid. Not everything's against you. Sometimes it does feel like the world is crumbling around you, but not everybody's against you. And I sat there, and I remember whenever I kind of realized that I really didn't get offended by much anymore. I got offended, but it wasn't like it was offended at first, and then I'm like, okay, but why? Why am I upset? Why did what they did bother me so much? So much. And I then take a deep dive into myself. I take a deep dive into my friendship with that person, and I go from there. I start to think. And I start to decide if this is something that I'm willing to accept, if I'm willing to help. At the end of the day, you're helping that person through whatever they're going through. And there's some people that it's worth it, and there's some people it's not. And that's okay. It's okay for you to distance yourself from that person and be like, you know what? I can handle a lot of trauma, but yours is one I cannot do. That is actually okay to think. It's okay to say. It's okay to move away from. There have been many conversations where I've sat there and I said, actually, I can't have this conversation. It's a little much for me. And I didn't allow myself to accept the bullshit of, you're a bad friend, because you can't listen to this. Being an empath makes it hard to not accept bullshit, because you want to sit there and you want to believe them. You want to care. You want to love them and show them that everything's going to be okay. You want to so badly. And I know you want to. I get it. But all it's doing is making your life harder. All it's doing is showing you love and treatment that is incorrect of how you should be treated. It took a lot in me to realize that I was not being treated fairly in a few of my friendships, and I cut them. And that's just been in the past month. There have been people that I have not spoken to because I feel like they are not doing what they should be doing on this side of the friendship. And it's not me having high standards and expecting them to answer every FaceTime call or be at my beck and call or expecting them to drop everything for me. It's expecting a mutual respect for one another. That's all it is. I'm not asking for much of anything. Heck, I'm really close friends with someone that I probably see once a month. I've called her the past 2 nights. I don't remember what time I have even called her. Like, I think last night I called her at like 10:30 because I was trying to figure out an outfit for something, and I was gonna go out and I was gonna go do something, and then that ended up falling through. And then the night before that, I called her at like 2 in the morning. Because I was coming home from the bar and I was like, oh my God, I have to tell you something. Or I was responding to her text, but I wanted to call her and tell her what I was gonna say. Like, it was just me being Josephine. And she just texted me the next morning. She's like, you good? That's all she did. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I was just calling to tell you about this, this, and this. And she was like, oh, cool. And we chat about it over text message. It's not that deep at the end of the day. It is not that deep. Like, being a good friend is just being there. It's not hard. It's not hard to be a decent human. It's not hard to be a good friend. Some people really struggle with it. For me, it's not hard to be a good friend. But accepting bad friendships is not helping me. It's hurting. It makes me feel unworthy. And I have said things in the past 2 weeks about me feeling unworthy for things that I have earned. I have worked hard to get that. I refuse to accept it anymore. Like, I had a wake-up call. And I even was thinking it last night into this morning. Like, I was driving and I was like, I have worked so hard this year. Like, sleepless nights, body aching from how hard I have been working on myself, on other people, on my brands, on other people's brands, being there for other humans. I have been working, and it's frustrating at the fact that some people say I'm lucky. It's actually really fucking annoying. It's frustrating. It's painful. And I just smile. And I say, yeah, I guess so. I had a webinar that, it was like an interview. Somebody was interviewing me, asking me a lot of questions about like 2023 e-commerce marketing, what we should be looking for, what's going to happen, what's not going to happen, all those kind of things. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to answer the questions. You just have to pay attention to the market. And I really loved every second of it. It was so much fun to me to be able to share my knowledge. And I love sharing what I know. It's actually my favorite fucking thing to do, is telling people what I know. And maybe it's the know-it-all in me. Maybe it's the words of affirmation and praise. It makes me feel really happy being able to share knowledge with other people and them getting something out of it. And that being said, I had this webinar. I was so excited about it. So excited. I was nervous because at the end of the day, you're mentoring like thousands of people about different things. It's terrifying. And so I was so excited. And I picked out an outfit for it. I was jumping through the wall. I was so stoked. I got on there. And this woman asked me, she said, how old are you? What's your name? And what do you do? I said, I'm Josephine Menardis. I'm 21 years old. I own 2 businesses and I'm moving into a director of operations role at my 9-to-5. She said, wow, at 21? I said, yeah. She goes, that is crazy. And I was like, really? And she goes, yeah, that's nuts. That's actually crazy. Like, it's motivating, it's inspiring that you're doing that. And I think I've said that there's been a phrase that has stuck with me, and it sat here with me since he said it. I haven't been able to shake it. It's an echo in my head. And I hate that it echoes in my head. Truly, it's one of the most annoying things that I have to live with. And he looked at me and said, I guarantee your success. I'm scared about mine. I don't know if I can do it. But if anybody is going to be successful, it's you. And I looked at him, I said, you can't say that shit to me. And he said, you're the only person I know that will do anything to see that dream come to fruition. You will stay up as late, as many hours as you need to. You will do whatever you have to do to make that happen. I said, yeah, I will. And he goes, and I'm so excited to see it. And when I tell you, I sobbed in that man's arms after he said that, I sobbed. It's the most heartfelt thing somebody can ever say to me, is that they know I'm going to be successful. You know how many people have sat there and said the exact opposite? It's heart-wrenching. Realizing how many words I have accepted into my life and not stood up for myself. Because as that echoes through my head, I also have the phrase that one of my aunts said at one point whenever I said I wanted to go to California and I wanted to study fashion and I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that in the fashion industry. And she looked at me and said, who wants a little girl in Arkansas, from Arkansas, in fashion? And I said, I don't know, but they're going to wish they had me by the end of it. And I can't believe I ever accepted those words into my brain and let them shape me in any way. The fact that the pain that I felt in that moment shaped me, makes me want to throw up. So for someone to sit there and say that they believe in me wholeheartedly also makes me want to throw up. Also makes me want to vomit. Because like, oh my God, you believe in me? My mom, for example, sat there and she told me about a month and a half ago, which I think I've already told you guys, but she sat there and she told me, I believe wholeheartedly in everything that you have built. Because if anybody's going to be successful, it's you. And I wanted to cry. Like, this was not long after he had said the same thing to me. And those two people are fully aware of how much they hold in my life, how much true strength they give me. They know it. He's not in my life, but he's fully aware that he helped a lot. It's kind of like that. There's that Drake lyric that's, tried to pull the best out of you. And then it's a line. And then he's like, guess I'm not that influential. Guess I'm not the one that's meant for you. And it's very interesting because it makes me think a lot about me and his relationship where it's like, we really did do our best to make the other person be better. That's all we wanted. It's all we wanted at the end of the day was the other person to be better, be whatever they wanted to be. Even if they didn't want to be better, we just wanted them to be them. And I remember at one point, him and I, whenever we first started dating, we got in this big fight because I was like, I just want to be what you want me to be. And he said, I just want you to be you. Why are you trying to be anything else? Why are you trying to be this girl that I've never told you I wanted? I've never told you I wanted to be around someone like that. And that's something that stuck with me. Like, it's just to be me. At the end of the day, the people that want to be around me for me are going to be the people that are meant to be around me. And it's just, it's all crazy to me. Is sitting here and being like, wow, I've accepted so much BS. I've been okay with so much BS and been like, yeah, you're probably right. Or yeah, I mean, you don't really need to go on a run today. Like, you are really tired. Or no, you don't really need to go and do that. Like, at the end of the day, how is that going to, like, or you're not going to be a millionaire overnight. When I could be. You never know. You literally never know. You literally never know. And I'm sick of accepting bullshit. I refuse to do it anymore. And I hope you join me on this journey of no longer accepting bullshit, because 2023 is our year. And I'm gonna live on D&D. I refuse to do anything more than that. Nobody's bringing to the table what I can bring. And I'm excited. So, I love you. I hope you're having a great day, night, week, whatever it may be. And I will chat with you so soon. Mwah.